podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 102 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Before we get started, follow us on whatever platforms you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, whatever. Wherever you're listening to us, follow. Also follow us on Instagram and Twitter, WTATL Official, and we're on TikTok as well at WTATL.podcast. So
yeah, plug the TikTok because that TikTok is good quality. Good content.
Cool. Another episode, guys. How you all feeling? I know how someone's feeling.
Someone's on their period over there.
You shouldn't have drawn him out first thing in this episode because
he is stressed.
Abdi,
I'm like 5 seconds away from quitting this podcast.
Quitting. Damn.
He's also drawing. Anyway, let's get talking about football.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm good.
5 seconds has actually passed since you said that now, so your time frame is over.
All right, good. Have a good podcast, guys.
All right, I guess we'll get straight into it. Seeing as our prime storyteller is not in the mood today. Mm-hmm. So our spotlight game was Chelsea versus Tottenham at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tanya?
I mean, do we always have to talk about Spurs first? Let's talk about Chelsea. Because
we only talk about Tottenham first, or Arsenal first, or Liverpool first, because those are the teams we support.
To be honest, I don't want to spend too long talking about Spurs, because I just don't see the point.
Okay.
I think we played really well in the first half. I was very surprised at the lineup to see the likes of Son back in the team, and Ndombele starting, Lo Celso starting. It was a very attacking lineup, and I thought at least Nuno's actually going for it. And in the first half, I actually felt that we had Chelsea under the cosh, which is something you don't usually see. And we had our chances. We didn't score our chances, which is frustrating. But I say chances, they were like half chances. We didn't really create anything. We were just dominating, pressing, working hard on and off the ball. But the second half, the drop-off was just absolutely mad. And that's where you've got to credit Tuchel. He saw the issue with Mount, he bought on Kante, and they just changed the game. And then as soon as they score, heads drop, we're not bothered. It's the same old thing. I don't know what to say. The only thing I will say at the minute with Nuno, a lot of people are Nuno out right now because the stats are just so worrying, guys. Like, I saw another one today. It was something like expected goals. We're 18th, I think. And I've said it last week. Passes completed, bottom, possession. We can't keep hold of the ball for long periods. Kane, he is completely finished at the moment. I don't want to say it's because he doesn't want to be here. I think that's excuses. I think he needs to get over it now. Unfortunately, you didn't get your move. It could just be that he's not playing well, but at the minute, he's just not looking up for it. And
I need to know immediately. I need to know right now. Why was he playing on the left wing?
This is my thing. I have no idea. Nuno, as I say, I'm not Nuno out, but some of the things this guy is doing, I there's no excuses for it. Like the Crystal Palace game, I thought, right, okay, he's made one mistake. He's allowed one mistake. But playing Kane left wing and...
I didn't watch the game, so who was playing centrally then?
Son was playing up top. He had Kane on the left. And when I first saw it in the game, don't worry, Tans, I'll speak for a bit now because I know it's paining you.
It is painful.
I felt this last season, trust me. Christmas times, it was bad. But when I first saw the way you were setting up when the game started, I saw Kane on the left. I thought, all right, maybe this will be for the first 5 minutes. They're going to kind of test the waters, see what type of game this is. Then I saw you pressuring like I haven't seen you pressure this season in terms of the press, in terms of winning the second balls and just generally being quicker than Chelsea. But that Kane, I just didn't get it, because as soon as you went 2-0 down, you made the swap and Kane went up top and Son on the left, because it was evident that you needed a goal. So for me, it was, why not start like that, get the first goal, and then if you really want to try Kane on the wing, and I get it because he was trying to isolate Son and Thiago Silva, did not work. Put some respect on Thiago Silva's name. I don't think it's as easy to isolate him like that. And I feel like that the plan was for Harry Kane to use his vision. He's got really good vision for a striker in terms of playing Son in behind, but it didn't work. And I sat back and watched that game and thought, wow, Tottenham are worse than I thought, and that win against City might have on the opening day of the season might have glossed over a few.
Oh, absolutely! I said it. I think City we performed really well, but Wolves, Watford, I wasn't convinced by the performances. I kind of knew we were just scraping the wins, and I don't know what it is, guys. I honestly don't know. Like, you can blame Nuno, but in a way, I kind of feel sorry for him. Like, our bench. Did you see our bench? It was Sanchez, Brian Gill, Davis. Like, what game changers do we have on the bench? When you look at Chelsea, Kante on. Who else did they bring on? I mean, Ziyech they can bring on. They can bring on so many players. So I don't want to get too carried away. At the end of the day, even if we had our full strength team, this is the champions of Europe. Chelsea are far superior. But I just still, I want to see effort. That's all you want to see from your team. And we showed that in the first half. And the second half, I mean...
Is this the approach you want to see Nuno take now in every game? It shouldn't, for me personally, it shouldn't just take for it to be a big game for you to come out and say, right, I want you to pressure, I want you to, like I said before, win these second balls, just put them under a lot of pressure. Whereas when you were playing Wolves and the likes, as you have this season, it was, let's sit back, we're going to play how I played at Wolves, obviously with a back four instead of a back five, we're going to soak up pressure and we're going to hit on the counter. It was, even as a neutral, it was so much better watching Spurs. I know you lost 3-0, but so much better watching you in that first half than it has been at any point this season.
This is why Spurs fans are frustrated. I just want to see a plan from Nuno. That's all I want to see. I want to see a philosophy. I want to see a style of play. And at the minute, I don't know what that is. At least under Jose, you could criticise him all you want, but you knew it was to soak up the pressure, hit teams on the counter-attack. At least we were scoring goals. One goal from open play, conceded 6 goals in 2 games. It's shocking. Like, it actually is shocking. It's not good enough. And I don't want to be Nuno out, as I said, but if this continues, he's on thin ice. In my opinion, I think he's already on thin ice. But
It's interesting because you've obviously got Arsenal next. And in the league, obviously, there's cup games midweek. But if you hold a defeat there...
Yeah.
I know it's early on in the season and well, way too early for me in terms of sacking managers, particularly at Spurs and Arsenal, maybe less so for teams like Norwich, etc., who will have to make a change if they don't see any progression ASAP because it's difficult down there. But I don't know. I think this one with Arsenal is make or break for both teams, actually. I know Arsenal have got a bit of momentum now, but a loss for both managers just really wouldn't be good with the situations both clubs are in at the moment. So what's your thoughts on... Is this Arsenal game... where you'll make your judgments on Nuno? Have you already made your judgments? Are you giving him that time?
Yeah, obviously, if he wins this game, I'm not going to say I'll be won over, but it will be a nice win. Like, who doesn't want to win a North London derby, right? But I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at history. We don't win at the Emirates. The last time we won at the Emirates was 2011, I believe. And I think in the League Cup, when Ali scored, I can't remember what season that was, actually.
That was Emery's year.
Yeah, Emery's year. We don't win at the Emirates, so it's tough for any manager. And Arsenal are the favourites going into this. They've got 2 wins on the bounce. We're the team going in there lacking confidence. Kane's not firing. So, I don't know. I think it is a must win, though, for Nuno. It definitely is a must win. He has to win it.
I think form goes out the window in derbies, though.
So. Yeah, form does go out the window.
I don't know, man. We don't win at the Emirates.
The same can be said for Tottenham Stadium. When was the last time we won there?
Yeah, I suppose that is true.
Well, on the other hand... going back to Chelsea, they haven't gone to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and walked away with anything less than 3 points, have they, ever? I know it's a pretty new stadium, but
I hate them so much, honestly.
No, they drew in the League Cup once.
Cheers. We beat them last season, I think, in the League Cup, but...
So, Tanya, at the start of the season, if someone said to you, look, you've got City and Chelsea in your first 5 games... Mm-hmm. Would you be happy with 9 points from 15? What do you think he would have said before the season started?
I would have been happy, but what actually annoys me more is that Crystal Palace game. If we'd have won that, I probably wouldn't have been as angry. It's them games where I expect us to get 3 points or I expect us to be playing on the front foot. I don't expect a manager to be so defensive and pragmatic and setting us up to fail against those teams. Because let's be honest, like I said in the beginning, Chelsea are champions of Europe. Like, no one expected us to win mm-hmm. that game. So you can't be too annoyed, but...
But then again, can't you just say that you lost to Palace because you went down to 10 men?
And you also had loads of injuries.
And you lost to Chelsea.
No, but Nuno has to take some responsibility, though, guys. Like, the way we're playing, honestly, is awful at the moment. Mm. It mm-hmm. really is. Like, we could be playing a lot better. Yeah. I know we're not the best team, but we could be playing better.
I think if you approach the Crystal Palace game the way you approach the Chelsea game, the result would have been different, for sure. I don't know whether you would have won or taken a point, but I don't think it would have been that 3-0 game that it was, because that first 30 minutes, like I said, against Chelsea, it's just... That's the type of Tottenham we should be seeing.
Yeah, but we just can't do it. I don't know why we can't do it for the full game. That's the thing, is it a fitness issue? I have no idea.
But didn't you say recently that this was the fittest you've seen Tottenham for a while?
Yeah, in pre-season we look good, but I guess anyone could look good in pre-season. You can't really take it seriously.
We were saying.
But that. I like to take pre-season seriously. I like to think that if you're winning in pre-season, it gives you that momentum into the new season, but...
Why is Dele Alli still starting games?
Oh, do you know what? Dele Alli, honest to God, right? Please. This is the message to Dele Alli, right? Please leave. The guy is dusted. Dusted.
I think he's phoning his agent right now.
He is old furniture, dead food.
I think
food.
We can get him on the phone.
Honestly, he's so bad. What does he give us? What does he provide us? No creativity. And I'm sick to death. He's come out on Sky Sports after the game saying, oh yeah, I'm not happy with my performance. I honestly don't want to hear it from these players. I really don't. I don't want to hear it.
Let's talk about Chelsea, who, as the weeks roll on, solidify themselves as title contenders with performances that you might say, some of them, they don't even have to get out of second gear.
That's the thing, they didn't even play that
like
well.
Like against Villa, against Arsenal, some might argue against Spurs. Not even close to looking like... Nope. They're at full throttle. So, what are we saying?
I think they're, so far, it's still very early, I think they're favourites to win the league. 100%. I just think their defence as well, Thiago Silva, Christensen and Rudiger, you have to say they're arguably, it's the best defence in the league at the moment.
And 11 goal scorers as well. So, they're not just depending on Lukaku. To score.
I mean, Rudiger bloody scored. Oh my God.
They're getting
God.
Goals from everywhere. So
that was a good finish from Rudiger.
It was a good finish.
I mean, I think it was last season. I'm not sure. Someone correct me. But last season, Chelsea finished with the highest number of goals coming from defenders across all of the teams. Like, their defenders finished with the most goals last season. So
I only conceded one goal this season, and that was a pen against Liverpool.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true. They haven't conceded.
That's
a
funny.
Goal for
Liverpool team. And Chelsea have the exact same results this season.
Yeah,
and the goal we've conceded as well was a set piece. I know it was a corner and not a pen, but
it was against them as well. So
it was against them. But on Chelsea, so yes, they've been really impressive. Do you think there is an element? So when he brought on Kante for Mount at halftime. And went into that kind of 5-3-2 almost, or 3-4-3-5-2, whatever you want to call it. And it really kind of, what Nuno set out to do, Tuchel came out in the second half and said, that's not happening anymore. And for me, that's how a manager should react.
Exactly.
And it was perfect because it swung the game Chelsea's way. They kept control of the ball almost too easily. They packed that midfield out. And then you've still got Havertz and Lukaku up top. To make those kind of late runs behind your defence. So
that's what I think about Tuchel. He can adapt the best out of any manager in the league. So you saw the way he adapted when he went down to 10 minutes against Liverpool. He's adapted well against Man City 3 times, played 3 different ways, won 3 times. And the best thing about Chelsea this season is how many games he played? 5 games in total, yeah?
In the league, and then you've got the Champions League as well.
Yeah, but like Palace at home, Aston Villa at home, not easy games. And then Tottenham, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Yeah, they've played all
Tottenham,
top
Arsenal
teams,
and Liverpool. So
but
they've
this
had the hardest fixtures.
Villa and Palace. Like,
yeah, exactly. 3-0
and
piece
not
against
even
each
tried.
Of them.
Not even tried.
Easy against Arsenal, easy against Tottenham eventually. And then the one game where it was tough for them is when they were down 10 minutes against the team that
be
know,
big,
one of
big
the title contenders.
Marker for where they're at this weekend with City.
Mm. Oh, they're playing City?
They're playing City.
The fixtures don't good. Get any easier for
and
them.
And then the following weekend, we've got City. So there are some big games coming up in terms of that kind of top area of the table. Some massive games coming up.
Hopefully Liverpool lose, isn't it?
Yeah, safe. Would you say that Chelsea are... Because I think the way they're playing in terms of with the ball, without the ball. We mentioned Tuchel and the way he can adapt to each individual game. Would you say, as well as being Premier League favourites, that it's fair to say they're favourites to retain their Champions League crown as well?
Yeah,
I think Champions League is different because when it gets into knockout football, I know it's over two legs. Everything changes.
Yeah, it's easier to win.
So everything, just very quickly on that, and then we'll come back to you. Everything does change, but I just, Tuchel is that type of manager who knockout football is perfect for him because he can adapt, like we've just said, to each individual game.
To a final as well.
But I do think it's on a game-to-game basis. You can't really just go like, because otherwise Man City would have won it. PSG should win it this season, you know, with the free. It's not always the best team.
No, I completely get that in terms of not always being the best team. Yeah. I sit back and watch this Chelsea team.
They're too hard to break down.
They're so hard.
So if you break it down, you've got excellent goalkeeper. I don't know why. Was Kepa playing?
Yeah, I don't know why Kepa played. Did you even test Kepa?
You needed to test Kepa, particularly Kane and Son, your shooters.
And Kane's done that before and he scored and I don't know why he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was saying, they got three solid defenders who good at retaining the ball, good 1v1, and then you got wing backs who can get into the box, create chances, and especially Alonso who can actually pop off shots and actually be a threat in goal. They've got midfield who don't lose the ball, and then they've got forwards that press, and now they've got a goal scorer as well. So it's very like playing against Chelsea, like. Obviously, we're really bad, but when we were playing against Chelsea, I was like, even at our best, we wouldn't even struggle to create any chances against them. So it's just, they're looking ominous right now. However, I still don't think they've been the best, the most impressive team this season. I think that's been Liverpool.
But that's what we're saying. They're winning games without even having to try far.
Yeah, so they came to the Emirates and had a jolly up, man. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, this is like a different level. This is like
and that's the thing. They've played Liverpool, Tottenham and Arsenal away.
Away, exactly.
They got 7 points out of it.
But a lot of this we should expect. Like, we've said this so many times. Look at the squad that they've got. Look at the money they've spent. Unfortunately, Chelsea are just one of those. They're so lucky. They've got that luxury to have a bench that they have. And they've got owners that will spend money. They've got top manager now, top players. So that was the icing on the cake. Them getting a striker, getting a top manager.
Chelsea, apart from the first year with Lampard, there's no reason for a manager to not succeed at Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're given, you come and then they give you the war chest. The only reason you fail is because of you.
And testament to that is how many managers they've gone through
over the
years because they're not so delivering like Tuchel is.
On a moral level, he's a horrible human being, Abramovich. But as an owner, as a football owner, sporting, he's probably the best owner in football because his main target is what the point of sport is, to win. Yeah. And if you don't, he'll get rid of you. Unlike certain clubs where managers can stay and fail time and time again.
I'm just surprised at Tuchel. Like, I actually questioned why they bought in Tuchel. I wasn't sure. But he's actually...
No, he's done well. He's done relatively well everywhere he's been. Like, he's like everyone knows, he's almost like he's playing chess.
I'm surprised about the style of football he's got at Chelsea now.
Yeah, that's what's surprising.
They're more defensive now than he's ever been. But when he was at Dortmund, bro, like he used to play
expansive.
Pulisic one side, Dembele the other side, Aubameyang down the middle, and they were.
Well, you got to think for 19 out of 20 games in that league, you can do that.
And yeah, I guess so. But then anyway, you can say the same thing about PSG, but I mean, like, Chelsea now, I do think they have the attacking ability to be a more expensive side. But he's a very tactful coach in the fact that he just doesn't want to lose games. So he doesn't want to concede chances.
Well, quick question then for you lot. Conte's back five and team at Chelsea or Tuchel's back five and team at Chelsea?
That's a hard question. Oh. Conte's second year was bad. The thing is, the difference between Tuchel and Conte, I think Tuchel actually knows what a good player is. Conte will go out and buy rubbish.
Yeah, but he does make
Conte went and bought Drinkwater, Bakayoko, Zappa Costa, Ross Barkley, all of these players. And then Tuchel, who's he bought this season? He needed a goal scorer. He went and got a goal scorer. I know Saul had a bad debut, but Saul's had a good track record.
Because he walked into a team of superstars pretty much. Because he wasn't there when all these signings came in.
True. But I mean, like,
Yeah, even then. But like Tuchel, the players he bought at PSG, he was at PSG beginning last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He was. Yeah.
So he bought in a lot of rubbish players. He bought in like Moise Kean and all that.
And Danilo,
Florenzi. Like these guys are not, I'm going to say they're bad players, but they're not amazing players. Conte, he's a great coach. He's an amazing coach.
I think he's a good man manager as well.
Yeah, he's a good, but then his quality of play, that's one of the things I'm scared about if we get Conte.
Yeah.
His choice of players is disgusting. Mm. So like if he ever leaves, and he's volatile, so when he leaves, you're left with a bunch of rubbish.
But he's a winner.
Yeah,
true.
And he gets the best out of you.
He gets the best out of you. And you say his talent identification might be poor. Well, it is poor. The players you just listed that he signed for Chelsea.
Inter Milan, last year, he brought in Kolarov. He brought in Ashley Young. He brought in Victor Moses.
No,
Vidal, washed up Vidal. Like,
but a guy wins.
I think he just likes to have a big squad. For him, the caliber there's of no player reason outside to bring of his.
But then also, Lukaku has said that under Conte, he discovered how to fall in love with his position, like playing back to goal and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's Lukaku said that Conte's wanted him since he was at West Brom.
Yeah, and you can see that Conte, like you said, he's a very good coach. He knows how to coach players and get the best out of them.
I like his style of football as well. It's quite...
But Tuchel seems to be the kind of coach that will give his players every single bit of information they need to do a job. So it's like the player is never in doubt at any moment of what they need to do in order to get the result they need.
What a signing Thiago Silva's been, man.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. I did doubt it when it first, not because of the quality of the player, but you just think,
His age, Premier League.
35, 36, this is a different type of football you've experienced at club level to your whole career. Faster, you need your body a lot. Mm-hmm. And is his body going to stand that test? And boy, as he said to me,
can you imagine?
I'm out here.
Can you imagine prime Thiago Silva, 28 years old in the Prem? That would be disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps obviously the fact that he's got the best midfielder the best holding midfielder probably of all time, and then you've got two other centre backs who are equally.
Yeah, but like we spoke about before, they tried to expose him and isolate him against Son. And
but I mean, it's harder to expose a centre back in the middle of a back three, and your right wing back is basically an old school right back who sits in Azpilicueta.
Yeah.
He's another one. What a guy, man! You have to say.
Yeah. You've got to say the one thing about Tuchel is that, and I'm not. This isn't. It's not a doubt in terms of how he sets up, but he can go very defensive. You've got that back five. Azpilicueta is one of your wing backs. Obviously, Marcus Alonso is a real wing back, so there's no question in that. And then you've got second half against Chelsea, you had that back five, three centre mids, two of which usually sit deep in Kante and Jorginho. Kovacic is more of an eight.
But do you think he does that so it just frees up what's in front?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not questioning it. It's obviously
because they're scoring goals,
getting the job done for him. They're scoring lots of goals. They're keeping the ball with ease. It's just for me that those defensive players are definitely protected more than your average defensive unit.
Fair.
Well, if it's working. It's,
yeah, like you said, though, next week will be another test.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Thank God.
The first game of the weekend was...
Oh, no. Can we talk about Tottenham in the Europa Conference League?
2-2 versus Rennes.
I mean, do we need to speak about that?
Shout out to Doherty.
Are you guys trying to exit the group stage?
I mean, look, probably. We're not winning that competition,
I didn't realise that, Roma are in it. There's some other teams.
I watched the highlights of the Roma game, actually, and it was... they're in it to win it, Roma.
Yep.
I can tell you that in terms of the players. He played a strong 11.
CSKA Sofia.
I know, but they were celebrating goals as if it was... a league game for them. There was a decent crowd, loud.
If it's a competitive game, you should celebrate goals.
Yeah, of course.
Competitive.
Do we ever find out if Europa League teams who exit in the group stage?
There's a whole new format, and I was meant to say this at an episode the other week. So only the top team in each Europa League group goes through, and then. Second and third in each group.
Europa Conference League.
No, Europa League. Mm-hmm. Second and third in each group kind of have a little playoff against each other. It's a whole format's different.
What the hell?
The thing that stayed the same is the Champions League and the third place team dropping down into Europa League. And there will be some who drop down from the Europa League to the Conference League. Okay. But it's not as simple as
the way
it's
worked. Why would you make such a budget competition even more complicated?
But what I did sit back and realise, right, for some of those teams in the Conference League, it is a good chance for them to, you know, play European football. There
was two Scottish teams, one Irish team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's teams from all over Europe, like Romanian teams, etc., who don't have that chance. And normally, you know, on an ordinary kind of season, pre-Conference League.
But they should... They should remove the seventh spot in the Premier League and put it to like 12th or something.
I think the one thing that I, although I'm happy not to be in any of these crap competitions, but the one thing I don't like is the fact that our young fringe players can't get any games.
That's the fact.
And also, I was so bored this week. No Arsenal at all. Like even the Europa League, just. Even that, can at least a morale booster.
No, but the Europa League over the past couple of years, the quality in that tournament has definitely been boosted. I really feel that. I think that 5th, 6th, and 7th in the Premier League should get Europa League, and 8th should get the Conference League.
May they hear you?
Nothing. Keep going. I just heard something in my headphones. Gone.
All right, let's talk about Wolves versus Brentford. First game of the weekend on Friday. Brentford. 2-0.
Last week we were all praising Wolves and that about the way they play and everything.
Mm-hmm. No.
They just can't put the ball in the back of the net.
I was going to say that. And then
still,
I feel like it was a sucker punch with the goals. And then not that to say that Brentford might not have deserved it, but I think it took the wind out of Wolves' sails. And then
gave away a penalty. Yeah. Then the second goal was such poor defending. Like the guy, Connor Cody, he looked like he was going to go to him, and then he held back a bit. Then what's his name? Saïs is sleeping at the back post. Yeah. Easy tap in for them. But they look like a partnership now.
And it was a poor pen as well. Poor pen conceded.
Yeah, it was a bad foul.
And Bueno off the mark as well in the Prem.
Yeah, he looks interesting. Tony's like, I like him, but I hope he doesn't become Troy Deeney.
He's not
in the way that he talks a lot.
Oh, right. I was going to say,
I'm confident.
Arsenal,
but it's easy to talk about Arsenal now, isn't it?
I disagree. Like, you know, Brentford, they do the metric thing. They look at analysis and data and stuff, but they also look at character as well. And I don't think that they would sign someone with poor character.
It's only someone's point of view, isn't it?
No, but that Arsenal thing. It was just an informal podcast.
I don't mind that. It's just like after the game, he's like, I'm confident. I don't care. I'm confident.
Yeah, I'm just
like, I know, but I mean, like, sometimes I feel like he might, like, Troy Deeney, like him chatting about Arsenal. Troy Deeney, how many times does that come back to bite him afterward?
Yeah, but Troy
missed the pen that season. Next game, he got sent off. Next game, then he doesn't play.
Yeah, but Troy Deeney does it on Sky cameras, not on a.
Yeah, like I guess so. But that's just my personal opinion. It doesn't really matter at all. But he's done well.
Yeah, fair.
But like, chill, innit? Chill. Take time.
I want to see, because he's quite unconventional for.
I thought he was quicker. You know, he's actually not that quick. He's just.
Yeah, he's quite unconventional. I think he's still trying to adapt to the league, because last year he was just bagging goals left, right, and centre, and this year's just taking him a bit of time to like find his feet. I think.
All right, rank these strikers here. Ollie Watkins, Ings, Calvert-Lewin,
Tammy Abraham again.
Bamford, and Tony.
You're going so ham.
I'm just saying all of Harry Kane's backups.
What I'm going to say is Abraham's better than Calvert-Lewin, Bamford's better than Calvert-Lewin. Who else did you name? Ings is better than Calvert-Lewin. So Calvert-Lewin's at the bottom, basically.
That's crazy.
No, he's near the bottom.
I'd definitely put Ings first.
Not near the bottom.
Tammy's better than him.
Calvert-Lewin.
He named 28 people.
So no. I said Calvert-Lewin. So it's all the Ings.
He named six players. I was counting.
So I'll put Ings first. Then I'll put Calvert-Lewin second.
No, I wouldn't.
Did you notice how Abdi said rank these players?
And yeah, but you lot refused. You're like, oh, you did so many players. I can't carry it.
Calvert-Lewin before Tammy Abraham. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's...
Yeah, listen, I can't lie, Tams, I'm having that.
Nah,
as well.
That's madness.
Listen, this is exactly what happens, isn't it? So someone is bad for a while, They go Italy, start scoring a few goals, and then apparently they're amazing.
No, it's not even about that. I would genuinely...
Same thing happened with Lukaku. No one rated him when he was at Man United. He went to Italy, start scoring goals, and they're like, oh, Lukaku's amazing. Lukaku, obviously, he just had a bad spell at Man United. He's a goal scorer. He's always done that. And now he has improved. He did improve.
But Tammy, he's just like, what, five games in? Relax.
No, it's not even about that. I just think Tammy is a good goal scorer.
No,
wasn't he linked with you this summer and you were saying absolutely not,
well,
no
yeah,
way.
I've got Harry Kane, I don't
you're
want
him. Better than Tammy.
I'd take him as backup though, 100%.
No,
I over Calvert-Lewin any day of the week.
DCL is better than Tammy.
I know you've got like, I know you don't like him.
No, I do. The thing is, I actually do love Calvert-Lewin for other reasons, of course. All right.
Doesn't show.
But I just don't rate. I don't rate him.
She just wants to be right.
Yeah, so you'd go Ings, Calvert-Lewin.
Ings number one, Calvert-Lewin number two. Then I put Bamford three. Then I put Tammy four. Oh, who's the other one?
Watkins
five, and then I put Tony lost.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I rate Bamford as highly as third on that list.
Who'd you put ahead of him? Because I know you rate Ollie Watkins.
I was actually just about to. No, that's. I do rate Ollie Watkins. I don't know if I'd be putting him third either, but I'm with Tanya. I don't think Tammy's a bad player.
He's not.
I really don't.
I don't think we've ever said Tammy's a bad player, apart from Abdi.
Yeah. And I stick by it.
Tambourine, right?
Did you just put him sixth in that list?
No. I put.
I can't lie to you. I know this is a stupid statement, but this is a genuine question. Has Calvert-Lewin scored a hat trick for Everton?
Yes.
Has he actually?
No. Yeah, I imagine so. Yes. But
Where is this going?
No, I'm just asking. That's all.
Oh, so he'd be higher if he scored a hat trick. Yeah, he scored 16 hat tricks last
No. When was Tammy's last hat trick?
Tammy's banging hat tricks. I'm sure he did in the FA Cup against obviously lower opposition.
He scored a hat trick against Wolves once that I can remember. But
yeah, and DCL scored a hat trick against West Ham in the League Cup last season.
Oh yeah, yeah, he did.
Wow,
that's still a good opposition. They finished sixth, right?
That wasn't your best moment, Tanya.
I'm sure he won't have another hat trick.
No, but yeah, let's go. Let's get back to the Wolves.
I was just about to say back onto Wolves. Listen, I know it's early. And I don't mean this in the literal sense.
I don't mean this as in
they're going down, but are there any slight worries for Wolves in terms
I'm scared
of...
for them.
Listen, Tanya, they're on 1 point, I think, off the top of my head out of
15. They won last season. They won last week.
They won last season.
They won last week.
Oh, yeah, they won last week. Yeah. So they're on 3 points or whatever it is out of 15.
Yeah, one win, four defeats.
They can't put the ball in the back of the net.
They're really struggling in that.
They are really struggling. You look at that squad. Obviously, they've got Neto to come back, Prudence, and these types of players, good players.
Yeah, the goalkeeper isn't Patricio.
He's a bit mad.
But what I'm saying about I'm here for them, like the Wolves we've come to know is the Wolves that fights at the top side of the table. This Wolves is not going to be up there.
No, but they won't get relegated.
No, no one's talking about relegation.
They won't get relegated.
I'm scared for them, but they're going to be in the 15th to 12th.
No. If they're still out here playing decent football come Christmas, but not picking up the points, they need to start getting worried a little bit.
What injuries have they got? Pedence, is he injured?
And Neto.
They got Willy Bolly still out. Then Donker's still out.
No, but you're talking about Traore, Jimenez. I forgot the name of the striker they brought in. They're all starting.
When?
Look, Jimenez, I think we have to remember he had a serious injury. It's going to take him a bit of time.
He looks like he's just obviously they're not scoring goals, they're creating a few chances, they're not putting the ball back in there. I feel like it will click them eventually.
Yeah,
but Jimenez, he's even going up for headers and stuff. Like, I don't really see him still.
Nah, for me it's 15th to 12th.
Nah, I think they're top ten.
Between 15th and 12th.
I think they've got enough quality to be top 10.
Yeah,
enough quality to be top 10, but they're not doing anything.
Like, alright, we'll see. Five games in though.
Yeah
I know, but I'm just saying off what we've seen. This is my assessment.
Depends what their next fixtures are as well. If they've got tough games coming up, then it could make
I mean, in this form, any game is tough.
That is true.
All right, moving on to Burnley versus Arsenal. 1-0 to Arsenal, as the song goes. Odegaard, free kick. And then,
what a free kick, by the way.
Yeah.
Beautiful free kick.
Yeah, as soon as he stepped off, I thought he was going to
score. I did not watch 1 minute of this game.
Yeah, basically.
So Tanya's analysis is going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, I can still give analysis.
Based on opinion.
I didn't watch 1 minute of the Tottenham game, so highlights. But
I didn't bother with
this game. It was very weird because defensively we looked quite good apart from one guy.
All right, Sean Dyche.
sorry. Ramsdale. This is probably one of his biggest first tests.
Yeah, Ramsdale. Doesn't he? I think he deserves an apology from you two.
You know when you said I didn't watch 1 minute and I'm going to be quiet.
Did that not count when I started speaking?
Okay, continue.
All right, but on the Ramsdale point, as I was about to say, this is his first big test. Obviously, he's playing. He's playing against Longball FC. There's going to be loads of crosses in the box. But I have to say, he passed the test with flying colours. He was very good.
Yep.
He was good on his feet, although sometimes his long balls just go into nowhere, bro. But and we don't have any like we don't have a big target man striker, so I don't know why he's doing that. But he's good with his feet. He plays what he's comfortable on his feet. He caught everything. Mm-hmm. He was vocal as well.
He's very commanding.
I'll give him props for that. Obviously, it's still early, and he could make a ricket next week in the derby. But save a penalty against Tottenham, and then all is forgiven. I'm going to say week after week until I get an understanding of why this decision was made. 50 million on this absolute pansy who has no... that wasn't even just him bad in the air. He was terrible on his feet. He kept on making stupid like decisions with trying to play players under pressure. He's got Partey. And Partey, he can receive the ball under any sort of pressure in any sort of situation. But he keeps trying to play it into like out wide when someone's marked in. It was just bad. And then obviously he nearly gave away a goal when he passed it back to Ramsdale and then they gave a penalty. But Ramsdale did very well as well by saving that. I don't get it. And I'm going to say it week after week and I don't care what anyone says. Saliba's out here, man of the match every single week for Marseille. And we've got this pansy who's 50 million who's half the ability and can't win any duels. If you're a defender and you cannot win duels, I'm not going to respect you. I don't care how good you are on the ball, supposedly. Yeah? So that guy... Other than that, the rest of the back four very good. Tomiyasu, I like him a lot. He's very
damn
good.
Damn it!
I wanted
him to be shit.
Unlike a certain centre back, he can win all of his duels. He's very good in terms of he's good in the air. He's won 10 out of 11 aerial duels since he joined the club. He's very blocks a lot of crosses. I would like to see a little bit more of him in the final third, like as in getting past. But obviously, just Arsenal as it is, we don't overlap on the right hand side. So,
what is he? That 6'4"?
Yeah, he's very, very quick.
I'm not disputing that fact, but it's not often you get a right back taller than your centre backs. I just feel like
he's about the same height as
you know what? You know what you're getting with a right back of that ilk, and I just feel like he's been very impressive. But I do feel like it means a lot of your play will be generated down the left still.
Yeah, I guess so. He on instruction, he's tucking in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Gabriel again, is amazing to have him back. He's led the whole defence, very, very good. Again, a guy who's mobile, strong, good in his duels. You're always going to be very good in that regard. On the attacking front, it was an absolute disaster from all of our forwards. Pepe, Aubameyang, Saka stunk
That's
it out
a
completely.
Good forward line.
Yeah, but the thing is, what we did, it was the first time Arteta played 4-3-3, but he played with two tens in front of Partey, so he played with Smith Rowe and Odegaard.
Okay.
So there was no Lokonga or anyone. Mm-hmm. He was playing with Smith Rowe. So Partey was on his own. But to be fair, like Odegaard, I thought had a really good game. But the thing is, he played him on the left hand side of the three. So he was playing on the same side of Saka and Tierney. So he had three left footers on that side. If he played Odegaard on the other side, because Odegaard likes to cut in like on that left hand side, similar to the way Harvey Elliott was playing this season. And then Smith Rowe is playing on the other side. So he's very limiting as well. And then I made the point last week when you have Pepe on the right-hand side and you have Saka on the left-hand side, both it doesn't work that way because Pepe, he's good in terms of end product. Mm-hmm. Saka, he gets involved in the creation more. He can go past players and, you know, he's got a good weak foot and he can make good decisions. Pepe, this game, he was the worst of Pepe. Doing everything, all of that, like I mentioned last week about the jittery inside out, poor decisions. The final ball from every single person in the final third was horrific. Smith Rowe, Saka, Aubameyang, like everyone was bad. But we got the win. But sorry, I know Junior wants to come in. But just last thing I want to say,
Junior looks demoralized, bro.
The last thing I want to say
is we won the game, by the way.
We did win the game, and I'm happy we did win the game because it was a good defensive performance, and obviously my boy scored Odegaard. Like I was happy with that signing. However, I don't like the fact that it's always with Arteta since he joined. Everyone's always said, "Oh, it's just about winning at this point." Like results are good, but if you're just results and your performance are not coming with you, mm-hmm. the results are going to dry up. And the performance in the results are going to start matching the performance. Mm. So I feel like the process is important. Even if we weren't winning, but we're playing good football, and you know you see good signs, then I'd be all right with it. But I don't know. I feel like this is gonna.
I do agree with that. But at the end of the day, if someone said to you, right, we've got Burnley this weekend, would you rather play well and lose, or would you rather kind of grit it out and take the 3 points?
Obviously, I'd win, but I'm thinking just the way we won, Burnley outshot us this weekend.
Listen, right? Turf Moor is not an easy place to go to, true, first of all. And you're going there. I read an article recently that Arteta's looking to transition now into a 4-3-3 and kind of making that your style of play. So
I read that too.
You said it with, you know, we had the DM sitting similar to Liverpool, and you've got kind of two attacking eights or tens, whatever you want to call
them. It's true, but I mean, like, it was 55 minutes and he took off Smith Rowe, brought on Lokonga. It was just like, but he was happy with us being 1-0 up and just defending it.
Tactical, you could say that about Tuchel bringing on Kante for Mount. Yeah, it's a defensive substitution, but they won the game and it affected the game in the right way.
Yeah, having said that, I just don't think he likes to chop and change too much. And
yeah, that's fair.
The first sign of problems, he will change it. But then he doesn't like to stick with his original idea, like saying, I want to play 4-3-3, but this is the first time he's played it since he's came. And he's been saying it for a long time.
What if you win the North London Derby then? How are you both going to start feeling?
I'm going to be very happy. I'm going to be talking a lot.
Nah, look, I will be happy, but I don't think, like, personally, I don't think in the grand scheme of things that it means that much. I think obviously you want to win it, and then both managers have been a bit under pressure, blah, blah, blah. But I think for both, I think is where they end up at the end of the season. That's more important than this one game. Although the 3 points will help get there. But I just think especially like for Arsenal, how bad last season was, I think I would rather lose. I mean, I hate saying that, but I would rather lose at Tottenham and finish top seven.
Okay.
That's what I mean, because that's where Arsenal should be.
More than top seven. Let's be honest. Arsenal should be in the top four.
If we're 1,000%.
You spend more than anyone, yeah.
But
because of the money you've spent. I just mean Arsenal as a football club should just be. It's a top four team, and
yeah.
So the good thing is that Burnley look like they're having a bad time.
Oh, yeah,
Burnley.
That is one thing I'm happy about.
That's four defeats.
You know, Sean Dyche just signed a new deal as well.
Yeah.
But just very quickly, because
they'll get relegated.
They pull for every season.
Yeah. There was that season they were in the Europa League and they lost like their first seven games and then finished like 12th. That's what they do.
What were you going to say?
It's that grit. I can't remember who said it, but they'll win like three games on the bounce, 1-0 over Christmas or something, and start to pull away. I think it was Abdi last week or the week before.
You can have that point because I don't
agree.
Cool. I'll say no more. Say no more. No, but I know you've just spoken about you just want to see yourself finishing the top six this season, etc. But when you take the first three games of your season into this conversation, and you think that a win against Spurs this weekend would put you A, level on points with Spurs, B, on 9 out of 18 points when you faced City, Chelsea and Spurs, what's it saying then? Is it starting to look a little less doom and gloom and more... Is there reason for you to be a bit more optimistic if you win?
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think what Abdi said is correct. Like, it's only good if the performances start to improve and we look more likely to actually play good football and look like we're going to win. Because against Norwich, it started to look a little bit better when we switched to 4-3-3 and we created 30 chances and da-da-da-da. And then you go to Burnley.
30 shots.
Yeah, we had 30 shots on goal. But then you come to this week, and I know Turf Moor is a difficult place, but we just want to see consistency in the progress. That's why I said last week.
You must be confident, though. Watching Spurs at the minute, we're quite fragile and vulnerable.
Arsenal. We can never be confident because you know Harry Kane's going to get a penalty. You know someone's going to do stupid.
But not at the moment.
You're forgetting Xhaka's back. His last game with his band is Wimbledon, and you know he's coming straight back into the team.
You when you lost those three games, and you probably
no.
prefer like I said, to play us now than
in a derby. Form goes out the window.
I'll be happy if we beat Tottenham, but I think 1,000%. I'd be more excited if it's a really good performance as well. Obviously, if we get battered for 90 minutes and we nick a goal in the 95th minute,
you're not going to complain.
I'm going to come here talking a lot.
Exactly. A lot of crud.
But I think. I just don't see, like, generally when I look at the team, I'm like, and I look at the other, like I said, the top four teams currently, they all look like they're all vying for the title. Yeah. So I was like, how on earth, like, unless something mad happens, how on earth are we going to get to that level where we need to be based on who we are as a team and the amount of money we spend?
Listen,
it's going to take a lot of years.
I think, first of all, and this isn't me, I'm not coming for you, but I think first of all, the focus needs to move away from those four teams.
Yeah, if you're Arsenal.
And you need to firstly focus on
Spurs, Leicester.
That's true.
Coming fifth with a bit of conviction. That's true. That's reality.
And building on that.
That's reality. Yeah. I 100% agree in terms of reality. But I'm not giving them any leeway to say fifth and sixth is acceptable because of the amount of money they spend.
No, it's the amount of money they spend.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm not giving them any leeway because Arteta talked so much about how I need players, I need this, I need that. He's been given, like, you've got the blank checkbook. The amount of players you've got and you saying, this is my team now, we've got all the tools. He said that out of his own mouth. That means you should get into the top four. There's no other way. Like, you have to be in the top four. You should even be like challenging top three, top two with the amount of money you've been given. But he's pissed it away. So now the reality is that that's where we should really be
Abdi, aiming.
So, no, I'm just honestly...
No, just because we spent a lot...
Yeah, I was just wrapping up the point there, but go on.
Cool. Okay, well, cool. Just very quickly, you've kept two clean sheets on the bounce now, and you know that's 50% of the way to winning the game. If you can keep a clean sheet and score a goal, the game's won.
True.
Fair. Good point, Mark.
I'm watching you, Arteta, though, innit?
Liverpool played Crystal Palace in what would seem a one-sided game at 3-0, but as every football game, it's a different story when you watch it. Mark, tell us.
No, you've done well to lead it in like that because that was going to be literally my first point is that it was not what it says on the tin. This wasn't a 3-0 game.
Man's got Van Dijk as a screensaver.
Holding the Champions League. That's different levels.
It actually hasn't changed since that night. But safe for that. cheers.
Do you want to just quickly tell us about what you felt about Harvey Elliott's thing? Because you went here last weekend.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think
Abdi, you in particular, kind of summed it up quite well, to be honest. It's not nice for an 18-year-old who's a boyhood fan, just worked his way into the team for the first time, and actually, at 18 years old, was good enough to hold his spot in the team. It's devastating to see that happen, but the thing that I like about Harvey is that he's been really positive. You know, he's come out on social media, said, look,
defended Strike and everything.
Said it's not Strike's fault. I don't think it should be a red, he said. And what that does is just take a bit of pressure off of Strauch in terms of how he feels mentally with, you know, essentially ending, not by purpose, but ending Harvey Elliott's season almost. Or
you said, oh, we can say career.
That's very dramatic.
That's a bit mad. But yeah, it's a shame that Harvey Elliott's out. And actually, you know, we didn't sign well this summer in terms of bulking up that squad. So we're really going to miss them.
We really will miss them. But at least Thiago can get a game now, isn't it?
Yeah, mad. Well, it's a shame because Thiago came off against Palace. So he's out tonight. We've got Norwich tonight in the cup and he's out of... Brentford away on... It's just a small niggle in his thigh. It's nothing. Okay. And we've got Brentford away on the weekend. So he's out of those two games.
Home or away?
Yeah, we've got Brentford away.
Brentford. Okay. No, you still beat him because they'll play their reserves. Brentford will play their reserves.
What, in the Prem?
It's not. Oh, who have you got in the
Norwich? We've got Norwich away tonight. Norwich away tonight. Come on, we're not City. We don't get Wickham and these, man. We get Prem teams. So it's just a big shame about Harvey Elliott. But onto the game with Palace. I've got to say very quickly before I speak about Liverpool, I'm quite impressed with the way Vieira's come in at Palace. And I mean, it's not wholesale in terms of that style of play, but what he's done is just change that direction a little bit, and you can tell that's not a Roy Hodgson team anymore. And if you're a Palace fan, you must feel so relieved to have a team whose first thought when they step onto the pitch is to play football. And I'm not saying Roy Hodgson is a bad manager, he's a legend of the game, but for Palace fans, it must have got a bit tedious towards the end there when you're watching that Roy Hodgson team and it was just 11 players soaking up pressure.
When you're seeing McCarthy in
your midfield. He's still starting the likes of Ayew and Benteke. I don't get it.
I mean...
Well, Eze's injured. The guy they brought in from Reading...
Edward on the bench. Elise was on the bench.
Edward was on the bench?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's just, give him a bit of time, like...
Yeah, but I mean, also, he clearly showed he doesn't need to.
Yeah, but oh, yeah,
he's got 20 seconds. Yeah, that's 20 true. Seconds that's true.
It's true.
But I mean, if you're Vieira, you've kind of got that. You need your squad, i.e. Benteke.
I don't really mind Benteke playing because that's his ultimate.
And Ayew was playing on the right and he's going to be the one who drops out. Ayew will be the one that drops out. But on the Liverpool front, it's good. You know, we mentioned it earlier. We've conceded one goal in the league this season, which was from a corner. It's so good to have that that kind of presence at the back now, where, you know, we've got a full strength back line in terms of Alisson, who was missing a few games last season. Obviously, Virgil, who was out for the whole season. Matip, who was out for two thirds.
Konate played, didn't he?
Konate came in against Palace, and he starts with Joel Gomez tonight. And really impressed me, Konate. I mean, if there's anyone you want to make your debut with in terms of guidance, it's Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was good from us. And it's just good to see us pick up a bit of momentum. We didn't play magically. But for me, at this stage of the season in particular, you know, first 10 games, it's about the points rather than the performances.
Mane got 100 goals now.
Mane, 100 goals, which is crazy. That's 100 goals for Liverpool.
He's got like three times this season already now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he seems to be back in goal scoring form, although last week he could have probably been top scorer for the rest of the season.
I think Chelsea and Liverpool are playing the best football.
I watched. I know we're going to come on to it. Go on.
No, I was just going to say... No, it's all right. I've forgotten now.
sorry. I thought that was really rude of me. I watched the second half against AC Milan, and it was complete domination. Like, literally.
Yeah.
AC Milan couldn't even
that
touch the ball.
That game. Forgot about that game.
Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't touch the ball. It was only... they had 10 minutes in the...
Yeah.
Well, towards like the end of the first half. Yeah. Well, they had 10 minutes where they kind of... got to grips with the ball a bit more. They started playing a bit of football and they scored two goals. But yeah, you're right. We've been playing some good football this season. But for me, it's now keep with that momentum. You know, we've got Brentford away on the weekend. We need to be picking 3 points up there. And then we've got probably the biggest test of our season, City, the weekend after.
I just hope, obviously, I mean, you can say this about any team, but I think the only thing that really is going to let you down is probably like you don't have the bigger squad compared to City.
Absolutely, that's why an injury that happened to Harvey Elliott shouldn't, you know, despite how good he is, if you're good enough, you're old enough. I always stick by that, but it just shows you how weak our squad is, that, you know, an 18-year-old's been taken out for the season and we're really worrying now about numbers, and that shouldn't be the case.
If you're good enough, you're old enough. So what, Oxlade-Chamberlain is like 15 years old then?
Do you think you'll make signings in January?
I'm going to have to do this, I feel.
Let's see where we're at in January. Is pivotal week.
Start against AC Milan?
Yeah, and he was really impressive. He played 60 minutes. Got a really good assist for Salah's goal. He's starting tonight against Norwich, just more a bit of cramp against AC. But yeah, for us, it's positive vibes for me, man. I'm tuning into Liverpool games now and thinking, do you know what? It feels a bit more like me, like less of last season and more of the seasons before that, where we'd go into a game, get the first goal, and I'd know straight away, you know what?
Must be nice.
We will see this game out and we'll win this.
Must be nice.
It must be nice not to fear losing 6-0 every week.
Literally.
No, I don't think it's at that stage for you yet. But
no, it is.
Not anymore for you boys either, but it was. I can't lie.
When do we lose 6-0 every week?
No, I have the fear that we can lose 6-0 to everyone.
Okay, that's
we can lose 6-0 to everyone. Just quickly on Liverpool, do you remember last season when I said... should I just stop talking?
No, carry on.
Do you remember last season when I said without Virg, the fullbacks weren't bombing on more?
Mm-hmm.
And then it had a knock-on effect in the fact that your midfielders weren't getting forward as well, and then your forwards weren't being supported. Just seems like now the return of one player, literally Robertson is like bombing on all the time, or Trent, even when he was tucking in, he's getting forward a little bit more now as well.
It's not just one player. You got to think we didn't have any centre halves last season. There was obviously Nat Phillips, who no one really knew about before the season started, and Reece Williams, who shouldn't have been playing that level of football at the stage of his career he's at. He's out on loan at Swansea for this season, which will be good for him. But, you know, there were times we were playing two centre mids at centre back for quite a prolonged period of time, and we had something like 21 centre back pairings last season.
Crazy.
So, completely understandable why our full backs weren't playing how they are again this season in terms of pushing forward, bombing on. Trent looks like he's got a whole new role in terms of filling in on that right hand side of the midfield three. Before Harvey Elliott got injured, where they were creating those triangles on the right hand side, and I've got to say, Trent and Mo Salah, that link up is at the best point I've ever seen.
I know, because I'm sure we spoke about Salah last time and we did give him the airtime, but I actually think he's the best player in the league at the minute.
Yeah, 100%
at the moment. 100%.
He's the leading candidate for player of the year.
Unbelievable!
Yeah. It's scoring what goals, creating chances.
And his body. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I was
Okay, take no, it's not, it's, to I'm be honest.
Rain it in. Yeah, rain it in.
Take off your shirt.
His all round game has just, it's just so, so good in terms of, you know, the salad that we got from Roma was fast, agile, left foot was unbelievable, scored goals. But in terms of that all round game now, best I've ever seen Mo Salah. Same with Trent.
Mr. Pendo.
Missed the pen against AC, but still scored in the same game.
Yeah.
And we won it.
Can I ask you? Okay. Go on.
Can I? Thanks. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Not to be... Please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I'm not saying like...
Mark's not going
to
beat you up, man.
Thanks, Abdi.
Please.
Okay. Thanks, Abdi. Not saying that Liverpool... When I say this, it's not discounting that they've won the Premier League and the Champions League in the last 3 years. So... I want to prefix that, my question with this. Do you think Liverpool have something to prove? Knowing what I've just said, but do you think this team are... Because it looks like to me that they're playing like they have something to prove.
Yeah, and I think they are, because I know last season wasn't great for us. Still got to sing this to the walls and back. We did finish third last season.
Yeah,
and this was you know, our worst season in recent memory. But in terms of proving something... Yep, I feel like we need to go, you know, really treat the Champions League as equally as we do the Prem this season in terms of playing strong teams like we did against AC, getting out of that group and pushing through to the, you know, later stages of that knockout stage, keep going all the way. But in terms of proving stuff, I don't necessarily think prove is the right word, but I do think the players have it in them. I know what you mean in terms of, you know, Chelsea look very impressive, City are always impressive. But
because, like, even at the beginning of the season when people were going, like, for title favourites, people were going
Liverpool
Man City,
written
Man
off.
United because of Cristiano Ronaldo, Chelsea because Lukaku and their massive squad. Liverpool kind of went under the radar.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it might just be better that way for this squad, because there's been a lot of pressure on them for the past few years in terms of, apart from last season, obviously, which was a bit of a write-off. But I think being that silent contender this season would be better for our squad than... Them being the ones who are tipped.
Well. Go on. No, because I don't know if we've asked you this question before. What is
Junior asked that question, but it didn't stop him.
What's your expectation? Do you want to actually see? Because I personally want you to see you guys win like an FA Cup or a League Cup this season.
You don't want to win it?
Well, I'd love to win anything. But
I've been screaming. I've screamed it on this podcast. I want to see us win a domestic cup.
Yeah,
but let's be honest, the priority is the Prem and the Champions League.
So that's the aim.
And FA Cup will be third priority, League Cup fourth priority. And I think that's the same for all of the big four, five, six, all of the big teams in the league. Is that...
Answer the question, big man.
What's your expectation? Do you think, though, if
my expectation is a little bit skewed, because we've got, in terms of first 11,
probably the best.
I think we've got the best first 11 in the league. I really think that. But in terms of squad, I think we're maybe fifth best in the league in terms of having those.
Fifth?
No, I can't.
No, definitely at fourth.
Well, around, like, you know what I mean? Around that, I was just generalising in terms of.
Who's above.
But in terms of options.
Because I get Man United, Man City, right, Chelsea, well, potentially, but.
Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't the point I was making in terms of. I just think we're. In terms of 11, I really think we've got the best in the country. But in terms of squad, we're just. If we pick up injuries, particularly to Mo Salah, or Fabinho, for me, or Trent. Those three in particular, because this season, I'd love Virgil to bits, but for once, that's the one position we've got depth in now. Mm-hmm. We've got four class centre-backs.
Yeah.
But it's the other positions. You know, we literally don't have a right back up.
What about Nico Williams?
He's injured.
Oh, okay.
And aside from that,
he's not good.
He's not good enough.
So say if you finish second, right? You don't win the Prem, you don't win Champions League, you don't win a FA Cup or whatever. Do you think a lot of your energy now might go towards your owners for the lack of investment?
It did this whole summer. Yeah. There was a massive negative energy around. I was just lucky we started the season well.
Yeah. Really. And there was the whole Super League thing.
Because
I
don't know with Liverpool fans. I know with Spurs fans, Arsenal fans, and Man United fans.
But you notice how you don't see no green and yellow scarves at Old Trafford no more.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, I've been saying this to United fans. Where's the Glazer?
One Ronaldo here. You bring in a Ronaldo and they'll show up in it.
Literally. But
they'll go back to their jobs at Greg's.
Because I do think Klopp, right, under the conditions, he's absolutely incredible. Like, mm-hmm. let's be honest, he doesn't get the backing of a Tuchel or an Ollie or...
Yeah, you got to think about the squad that Tuchel... This is why I find it hard to compare what Tuchel and Klopp have done, because Tuchel walked into a world-class squad. Jürgen Klopp walked into a squad, you know, like Joe Allen and Mignolet. These men were starting for Liverpool week in, week out. Balotelli had just been gone. All of this shambles had just happened. Jürgen Klopp walked in to a squad that was so bad. He had to revamp that whole squad, and he'd done that through selling players, smart using the funds, smart signings. Got the two big ones in Alisson and Van Dijk, which completely transformed our whole team. That's
he
why
he did bring in Mane and Salah as well.
Mane and Salah as well, in that sense.
But they were relatively cheap.
They were cheap. And people, you know, at the time, people questioned, what, 35 odd mil on Sadio Mane? Oh my God, Liverpool are getting bumped. 40 mil on Salah, Liverpool are getting bumped. Turns out that there have been bargains.
I think you're being a bit nice. You expect to win the Premier League, because once you've tasted it and you are winners, you were Champions League winners, you're big boys here in this game.
I want to win the
Premier League. So you
want
to win the league.
I can't expect as a strong word.
I mean, you expect to win the league, don't you?
No, expect as a strong... How can I expect to win the league when you've got two of probably the two most expensive assembled squads in history?
But you just said you've got the best starting 11, though.
And but I know, I but
that's not enough.
We've shown what's been shown last season is that if you can't keep your best players fit and you haven't got the squad depth for players to come in and fill in, then you're going to start seeing a little bit of a negative spiral in terms of how how we're playing football, B, how players go out and express themselves, because you've got to take into account.
That's but
with a City and a Chelsea, you know, you take Grealish out of that team, Sterling comes in. Take Foden out of that team, Mahrez comes in. Take De Bruyne out of that team, Torres comes in. With Chelsea, take Havertz out of that team, Ziyech comes in. Take Lukaku out, Werner comes in, and so on and so forth. We don't have that. That's why I expect is a strong word. Want, definitely, absolutely. And we will be challenging.
Last year, you didn't win. You had a poor season because of the injuries at the back, right? So mainly centre back, yeah?
Everywhere, though. There were times...
The areas where, like, you were... Are you all right, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
He's just looking at me like he wants to move on, but
I think we should move on.
I just wanted to say, basically...
But I am enjoying this conversation.
So many players in your starting 11 are the best in the league in their position.
Mm-hmm.
Van Dijk, Robertson, the goalkeeper...
Fabinho.
Salah.
Oh, yeah, we said Alisson.
They're all the best in the league in their position. So is the expectation not to win the league?
Because expectation, of course, is to win the league, but...
Bar Ginny leaving, what's different to the team that won the league a couple of years ago?
Nothing. But you got to remember, when we won that league, we were very fortunate in terms of injuries. And that's the message I keep relaying here. If we're fortunate with injuries, then I'm confident we'll be fighting for the league.
And you have the best manager in the league.
Okay, I am just really aware of the time.
Yes, let's move on.
We have other games to get to. But this is a good conversation that we can maybe shelve for another episode. Man City played Southampton, and this is the game that Pep was begging fans to turn up to, where Man City only mustered one shot on target. So
is that quite real?
With empty hand and everything, I get it. People just want something to banter City about. But I honestly don't get the obsession. I really don't. Like, it's obvious they aren't a big club compared to Arsenal, Chelsea.
It's not about being a big club. Listen, Tanya, Norwich fill out their stadium. It's not about being a big club.
Yeah.
Burnley fill out their stadium every week. Watford will do it every week. Every team in the league does it every week, almost, like, you know, at least 90% capacity. It's not, I don't even think it's a banter.
Never filled out this stadium.
No, I mean, they do it on your, but you got to think, like, listen, I'm not out here to make enemies, but the Leipzig game in the Champions League, like, you've just lost the final, just this year gone. Your first game since then, is it not, as a supporter, let's get there, show them that we want to...
Is just the tickets really expensive? Or
no, bro, they're on...
£12 on uni.
So why would you not want to come see your super...
They're on voucher.
Bro, they're £20.
He said, if Manchester City fans are mad, they can come fight me, all six of them, I don't care. Is that a real quote?
No,
that's not real.
Say.
No, so the quote we're talking about, the quote we're talking about is he after the Leipzig game, he practically begged the fans to come to the Southampton game. But I went to the Leipzig game, again, because it was cheap. There was a quarter of a stand completely empty.
There was 12 that it's a 50 almost a what is it 50 something
yeah it's 50 yeah. 50k yeah
there were and there was 37,000 fans for what the Leipzig game capacity?
Yeah, but to be fair, Leipzig brought about six people.
What did you say?
Yeah, but Leipzig would be like what, 3k max in that away end.
I don't get why don't you want to come see the super team? Like, you, this is your best team ever.
But I'm sure you spend 100
million, your
like
new 100 million player.
They've booed the anthem before. I've heard it.
What did you say? Man City fans don't like Champions League?
I don't think they're a fan of it. Some of them.
Who are you sticking up for? Someone's had a word with you.
No, I'm not.
And also,
who doesn't like the Champions League?
Also, why would they not want Champions League? They never won it before.
I've heard them boo the anthem. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I was there and there was no boos.
Well, yeah, but and I what, just...
Who would boo the anthem?
Booing the anthem.
No, they have to.
You could boo the Europa League anthem. Yeah. I completely understand that. But the Champions League one, that's a bit crazy.
I just...
Were they booing or were they singing Blue Moon?
They definitely were singing Blue Moon.
No, but Tans, I don't think it's an obsession. I just think it's when you see it every week, football tribalism is a real thing. People are gonna
don't have the fans.
No, but yeah, well, maybe. But Tanya, wouldn't you be surprised if you built a stadium like Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
Oh yeah, ours is packed out.
Yeah, but no. But what I'm saying is,
but you're not champions.
Yeah, but what? How would you feel if your stadium was never full?
I mean, I'd personally be happy because it means less money in Levy's pocket. So
it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing the fact that they've got this super team. You got, you know, your best manager ever, one of the best of all time. You spent 100 million on a top quality player. You know, you'd think they'd want to come see him and you know, come see their team, support it. To have what 17,000 fans not there? That's ridiculous. And also, it isn't. And like, if it was the Emirates, you'd understand because our tickets are like, you know, 750 million. You know? So it's just like, obviously you have to take out
Tickle Junior, but
you have to take out a small loan just to pay for a seat in the upper
that
tier.
That got me like that hit me from blindside. So
I don't. But like Man City, I just don't get it. And also Pep, shut up, man, you bald prick. It's like and you can't just blame that on the poor results, you know. And also, you want them to come out for what? One shot on target against Southampton. Mad.
They clearly need the game, a target man.
The game midweek, it was fun to watch. I'm not gonna lie. I went there. It was 10 goals. One was disallowed. VAR red card. I
couldn't go to a game like that though because I got to go to a game if I'm supporting. But obviously, you're a football.
That's a lie because you went to a Tottenham women's game, and I know you don't care about that.
What do you mean? I do.
You don't care about Tottenham. All right, where Tottenham in the league women's team?
Do you know where Arsenal women's are?
I'm not going to Arsenal
don't
women's game.
They are second.
Like
but yeah,
I just wouldn't go and watch Man City, innit?
Mark, no, but Mark, you were slagging off. Okay. Hold on, you were slagging off Southampton, and there they are getting points against Man United.
Let that one go, big man. This one was, I wasn't slagging them off. I just tipped them for a little certain something, innit? But maybe I was wrong.
A little certain something.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe. Who did you tip?
Whoever goes down now.
I will say about City, though, they need to beat Chelsea. For me, it's a must win because they've dropped points against Spurs. Mm-hmm. They've dropped points against Southampton, who they should be beating. Really, if they don't beat City, I mean, if they don't beat Chelsea.
Nah, but last season they started off poorly last
season.
They were 18th at like...
Well, they've got, I think their week, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if anyone knows, but I think they've got Chelsea on the weekend, PSG midweek, and then Liverpool on the weekend.
I'm joking.
That's tough.
And we've got Atletico away, City. There are some tough games coming up for everyone.
Mm. But they've got the squad for
but
it.
But that's
so.
A big week for City, the Chelsea, PSG, Liverpool.
They need to win that Chelsea game.
Hopefully three defeats.
Okay, Norwich played Watford, and Watford won 3-1.
Congrats.
Norwich are gone. Can we all just...
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah? Do you know they've lost their last 15 games in the Premier League? Like
that's
even before they got relegated,
they don't even look like scoring goals. They're just a shambles.
It's a shame.
And their goals,
your boy Kabak had a mare, bruv.
Oh no,
he had a
mare. Yeah, but when you're playing next to Grant Hanley, it's difficult.
Yeah, you're having to play both positions.
My boy Cantwell have a good game.
He didn't play. He's on the bench again.
I don't understand why he keeps starting on the bench.
He's on the bench.
Cantwell. I think Watford are going to rely on him a lot. That's probably an understatement.
Sar.
They did a really good job of keeping him.
What did you say?
Sada Star.
Ooh, all right, guys, Mark will like be leaving it. In a bit. he's a baller.
He is. Top. He's very impressive. Liverpool. Every time I watch him,
I like that Dennis guy.
Yeah,
got a good goal.
Yep.
He
scored the first game of the season as well, didn't he?
Good cross from Firmino. But yeah, he scored in the first game as well. So, and he got an assist in this game as well, didn't he? Yeah. Watford. I think both of these teams are going down, but Norwich are going to go 20th.
Watford have some players that are still coming back from injury. Like they've got this Brazilian striker.
I don't think Watford are.
João Pedro.
That one.
Definitely going down. I don't think you could say that at all.
Watford got Tom Clevey holding midfielder.
All right, let's move on. Aston Villa versus Everton. What do you guys think of the game? I didn't think it was like a 3-0, but it's just like one. The first one went in, it just kind of took the game away from Everton.
Yeah, I mean, that first half wasn't good. Both teams were making poor decisions in the final third. The only player in the whole game really who looked any good was Damario Gray in that first half. I like that
he should have scored.
Definitely should have scored, but. Townsend, I was giving him a lot of praise last season. And then, but he does these things, where like, I think Ziyech does it as well. They just do some mad things. They turn into Bruno. Like, he will shoot from 50 yards trying to hit the top bins. And like,
I love how you're saying that as a bad thing.
It will go in row Z, 10 times in a row. Like, you know, Iron Robin used to do that all the time. Cut in and shoot.
Townsend thinks he's Robin.
Robin's ratio ever must have Townsend's name in the same sentence as I am Robin.
Robin's ratio is a lot higher than
that's true. But that blitz period,
Mark is in shock, bro.
No, I just said, I didn't say, I didn't say Andre Townsend, the next Iron Robin. I just said, Iron Robin used to do that where it doesn't matter how bad of a game he's having, he'll cut in and try and shoot every time. Yep. And like when you had Iwobi there as well, the poor decision making was just.
No, they defended. Countless. They did not defend.
No, and then obviously they had both their strikers out as well. So that was.
But then it became the Leon Bailey show.
My Villa.
Your Villa.
Yes, I'm rooting for them because you know I said this season. Did I say like
come top when eight? Come Tottenham Villa?
I want to see you. Leon Bailey spazzes you.
Come on, I've got a bit of a soft spot for them just because of Leon Bailey as well.
Did you see that pass from Danny Ings?
Yeah,
the left-footed pass to Bailey's goal.
Oh, Bailey, man. Whew. The guy actually got injured as well, which was unfortunate.
He was on the pitch for 21 minutes.
21 minutes?
Got goal and assist.
Got man of the match as well.
Yeah.
What a play. Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
No, if Leon Bailey can keep producing this kind of performance, he's me excited to see.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it surprised me when that move was announced, to be honest, because same. Leon Bailey at Leverkusen, you know, you'd think one of the bigger clubs in terms of, at a very minimum, European football would have gone in for him. But credit to Villa for getting that deal done. And if he can play anything like that 21 minutes across this full season, then it's good. It's looking good for Villa.
Mark, I think the Grealish money helped.
Of course.
The fact that they had so many options on the bench as well. Like Buendia didn't play. Who else didn't play? El Ghazi, Traore, Bailey, were all on the bench. So there's options for them now as well. I think they should definitely move away from the back.
Oh, and big up Matty Cash as well.
Mings needs to.
He was all right in this game too, and I give him credit. He was good. He was actually very dominant.
I don't know how he's named
but international. The fact that there was. It's true.
It's true, yeah.
It's because he's got dreads and he's tall.
Yeah, 6'5".
But I think they should definitely go back to a back four. It works for them. They're playing this back three. It allows the fullbacks to get forward, but I don't think it doesn't suit them.
And shout out Matty Cash for his first.
Yeah, that's who I was
going
to say. Yeah, he's like Grealish 2.0 with the headband and that.
Oh, I was about to say in playing style, not so much.
No, not
but
playing style.
Okay, shock result of the weekend. Brighton 2, Leicester 1.
Not shocked at all. If you watch Leicester against Napoli, then you know.
No, I know. Yeah, but I mean, in terms of like. I'm kind of shocked with Leicester this season, period.
They've got the same record as Arsenal. 2 wins, 3 defeats.
Yeah, but people rate Leicester higher than Arsenal. Mm-hmm. So,
but to be fair,
keep that same energy.
Yeah. To be fair.
No, I agree. I think.
VAR were taking the piss in this game.
The two goals disallowed.
One of them I can understand he was in the way of the goalkeeper. But one of them, he was standing next to the goalkeeper. He wasn't even interfering at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Harvey Barnes, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, but Brighton. They're starting to get the goals that last season they didn't look like ever scoring. Mm.
They brought in some guy called Cucurella. Mm-hmm. Good player.
Oh, yeah,
good
I've heard he's a baller. That's the left back, right?
Left back, yeah.
Good player.
Getafe.
He's got the same hair as Junior.
Yeah,
I just love Graham Potter. I wish we got him instead of Nuno.
Yeah, I like Graham Potter. He got injured in this game though, so he's there.
And Welbeck scored
against Leicester.
Yeah,
again,
another header.
Another header. Yeah,
so, yeah, Leicester. I don't know. I mean, it's early days, but their performance so far has been a bit mixed.
No, they've been really poor. Not even mixed.
Yeah, and you guys wanting Maddison now? You're looking at it so far.
No, you're saying
Odegaard actually.
Well.
Still early, man. So 5 games.
Maddison is still a good player. The five games doesn't stop him being a
no,
good
I know
player.
It doesn't. But
it's like saying Harry Kane's a dead player now because he hasn't scored in three games.
Well, maybe that might be true, innit? This might be the end of the cycle.
Maybe
isn't
it? So,
but if you watch the Napoli game midweek, yeah, the amount of chances they were giving away, and I will say it again till I'm blue in the face, those two centre backs are gaff. They are so Vestergaard and
yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Gaff. I don't know.
I just made up a
word.
Well,
the way I said it, in the tone of my voice, it was negative.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie. I took it in. I was like, yeah.
Why'd you have to ruin it? The listeners wouldn't have picked up on it. They knew it was a negative, innit?
Nah, they probably all sat there.
We're gonna have to give him the Abdi button.
Go on.
Vestergaard and Soyuncu. I'm not having it, bro.
Yeah, no. Vestergaard looked really shaky.
Vestergaard got absolutely ripped apart by Osimhen. I know Osimhen's a quality player. He can do it to anyone. He's got size and pace, but Vestergaard, I don't like him at all. And Soyuncu in this game as well, losing headers.
Soyuncu this season though, he looks like he's never brain.
The whole of 2021 really. He's just
Euros as well. Oh, yeah. I can't even remember who was even in that Turkey team.
Yeah, him. he was playing centre back with Demirel. So he's not, yeah. Without Johnny Evans, that they're too shaky at the back.
And Fofana, give Fofana credit as well.
Yeah. Well, how do you say it, Tanya?
Fofana.
I'm not going to say it because...
All right, West Ham played Man United at a game where usually United struggle. They've lost there a couple of times, drawn. And it was there for West Ham again. Late penalty.
What do you lot think about the debate they were having about subbing him on just for the penalty?
It's a bit stupid.
Yeah. For me...
It's not that difficult though, is it?
No, but...
I mean, it's not,
It's the same thing with like... the debate we were having at the Euros where you're bringing on Rashford and Sancho just for penalties. These men aren't in the heat of the game. I think when...
A free shot from 12 yards. You just need to score.
No. When you've played football, you know the heat of the game, the pace of the game, you're in the moment. It's a bit different. If you're just coming off cold. Yeah.
I can't remember the last penalty that Mark Noble missed. You've got to think of it that way as well.
And I was going to say, he missed many.
There was no conviction in that
loads
penalty.
Of people said, loads of people said, Mark, why is he even taking the penalties? But Mark Noble rarely ever...
No, David Moyes is a pleb. Absolute pleb.
Say that with chest.
Trust me. Not learned from the Euros?
Yeah,
you've got to give players time.
Exactly.
Yeah, players that are on the pitch, Declan Rice should have taken that penalty. Mm. It's as simple as that. He cost them... Honestly, I was so annoyed. I was like, yes, West Ham, which is something I will never, ever say. But you didn't want Man United to win. I know.
De Gea, he's not saved like 65 penalties.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, if there's 65. One keeper in the Prem you'd pick to take a pen against, it's him.
Yeah.
It should have been Declan Rice. Yeah. He picked the ball up. He wanted
to pen. I don't think it's that. I think he just missed. It was a good save from De Gea. Really good save.
It was a terrible penalty. There was no power. It was... If you said to a keeper, what's the easiest type of penalty for you to save? It's that. They'll show you Mark Noble's penalty against De Gea. No power, not in the corner.
But do you think it was influenced by the fact that he just come on?
Yes.
Well, I've seen...
Yeah. It's just a free shot. Just score a penalty.
It's not a free shot.
Too much pressure. You can't just say, right, go on, take the penalty. I just think that for me never
works. Subbed him off specifically for pens because he doesn't miss pens. So I don't think he's got nothing to do
with
it.
But he doesn't miss pens when he's playing the game of football.
I think you're just discounting a whole load of like psychology of actually playing the game, hitting the game, being warmed up.
I'm discounting it because I'm not in Mark Noble's brain.
Your muscles are cold. No, but this is any player. We just saw Sancho and Rashford.
He must have been warm.
Exactly.
This is the last second pretty much of the game. Giza was just sat on the bench. He hadn't warmed up for a while.
Man was twiddling his thumbs and then he had to come on.
I knew he was missing the minute he was bringing him on to take the pen. I knew it.
Bro, we just saw that at the Euros.
They do that in penalty shootouts all the time though.
I don't think they should.
There's a risk behind it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
A lot of the times they're bringing them on at the end of like the first half of extra time. So they have 15 minutes to warm into a game. He was brought on. Man was sat ready to think. He was thinking, what am I going to have for dinner at home or whatever? And brought on for a pen.
Yeah, I'm fair sorry. Enough. That's crazy from David Moyes.
But Ronaldo scores again.
Man United weren't that great, were
four
they?
Goals, four goalkeeping mistakes.
Oh, come on. We can't get upset. No, I'm not. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it's the goalkeeper.
Listen, I'm not against Ronaldo. Obviously, he's Ronaldo, the second greatest player of all time.
Ronaldo scores those goals. It has scored those goals for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be real. Particularly the Newcastle one. That was was the keeper.
I guess young boys, it went through the goalkeeper's legs.
Young
Fabianski threw at him this game. That happens, bro. That's four games.
Like, go on.
That's four games for goalkeeping mistakes.
But you have to be there to score.
That penalty, that Zuma one especially should have been a penalty.
That was ridiculous, man. Come on. Yeah. How's that not a penalty?
Yeah, no, well, West Ham should have had a pen as well. I don't know how that Wan-Bissaka got a free kick for him slumping. I can't remember who it was in the box.
It was Suchek.
And I don't know how that was a United free kick. It definitely went both ways. United, there's a case to say United actually could have had two pens. And West Ham could have had the one.
Big up my boy Jay Lings for that goal.
Yeah, banging finish.
But what about what he did a couple days earlier? Where he gave the ball away against the Young Boys.
But that was Ollie again. Ollie taps.
Yeah, what a roller coaster week he had, man. He loses the game for them.
No, Abdi, you have some explaining to do.
What?
No Rashford, so United can't handle the Young Boys.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Hey, you need to explain it, man.
No, Rashford. No, I know. He's the Prime Minister.
I think Man United, though, they're at that point for me where they need a bit of a test. I think they've played. Don't get me wrong, West Ham is a good team and West Ham gave them a
young
game.
Young Boys, you know.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to see them against Liverpool or Chelsea.
Have they faced one of the big boys this season? They haven't. They've got a really tough game of fixtures, really tough run of fixtures coming up soon. I can't remember when. So that is when we'll see where they're at. But yeah, I mean, in terms of league form, you can't really complain if you're United. They're not the greatest start in the Champions League, but they'll come through that group.
It's not an easy group.
It's not, but... You know, they've got a squad there that's more than capable of...
It'd be funny, Ronaldo in the Europa, though.
All right, I know we're pressed
for... What was that laugh about?
That would be funny.
See, and then if I make that a button, she cries.
Anyway.
Well, I know we're pressed for time, so let's quickly do Man of the Week. So this week, we're starting with Mark.
Ooh.
I don't know.
This is top. Right, so I'll give it to David De Gea this week.
Fair.
Primarily because Abdi banned me from choosing Liverpool players.
On Twitter as well.
You did, you baited it out.
Ban will be unlocked next week, don't worry, I'll be back with Liverpool player. No, but I'm going to give it to De Gea, you know, that essentially won United those really important 3 points. West Ham away is not an easy game. Big save.
Cool. Tanya?
I'm going to give it to Leon Bailey. I just think... That little cameo, getting a goal and an assist. Sorry,
man side, actually.
I think Leon Bailey deserves the Man of the Week this week.
Yeah. Abs?
I was going to say Leon Bailey, but I'll go Ivan Toney, even though I slagged him off earlier. But goal and assist, so.
Thanks, Abdi. I thought you were going to take my one. I'm going to go for Thiago Silva for a good performance against Spurs. Goal and clean sheet. So, cool. I have, just before we go, I've got Who Am I Again? You guys can work as a team.
I played for Bayern Munich and I have a left foot.
Damn, it's like you... No. All right, so I've played with...
Can we stop right now? Yeah? Okay. Instead of her taking part on this podcast, she's reading the Instagram of one of her other podcast friends.
Yeah? Oh my God,
Can you focus on the podcast you're on, you know?
Can you stop interrupting? Let Junior read out the question. Checking my DMs, actually.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Go on, Tess.
Why did you offer that information?
tell us what's in your DMs, Tess.
Something interesting.
I'm sure. All right, so I've played with Romelu Lukaku. I won the Champions League in 2017-2018 season, and I've played with Emre Can.
Definitely a Liverpool player.
I've played with
Real Madrid, actually.
So I've played with Romelu Lukaku, won the Champions League in the 2017-2018 season, and I played with Emre Can. And I have two more clues.
So 2017-18 Real Madrid. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that.
Played with who?
Romelu Lukaku and Emre Can.
So someone at Liverpool, he's at Dortmund.
No. Let's just chill on the Liverpool front because
Oh, Hakimi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. Oh, yeah. He was at Madrid 2017. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give him a round of applause.
You just laughed.
The wrong button. You just laughed at me.
The other two clues were Hakim Ziyech and Arturo Vidal.
Yeah.
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice giving you Lukaku first, considering last time we spent 40 minutes just trying to figure out who it was. But yeah. So.
Junior's annoyed that you got it straight away, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
you like to see us suffer.
Abdi doesn't like to, you know, like dramatize it out, you know. He
dramatize it.
I'm absolutely starving, so wrapping up.
Let's get out of here.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. We've lost control.
Sorry, listener.
We've lost control. thank you for listening. If you're still here, I don't know why you would be.
End the show. Wrong one, sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woo! Sports Social Podcast Network.